Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, June 30th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 90, paragraph 4, which begins with, if he doesn't want to see you, never force yourself, ending with, that might spoil matters. Today's readers are Robin P. for the 12 Steps, Karen W. for the 12 Traditions, Carly H., and Julie E. B. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20399, and the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, June 30th, is 20401. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Now we'll now ask Robin P. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Star 1 to unmute, please, Robin.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater on the way to the airport in near San Jose, Costa Rica. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, committed to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. God bless you all, Pat.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Okay, and I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you. This is Karen W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance will lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 90, paragraph 4, and I will ask Carly H. to please begin reading for us.
Hi, thank you, everybody. Welcome. This is Carly H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. Neither should the family hysterically plead with him to do anything, nor should they tell him much about you. They should wait for the end of his next drinking bout. You might place this book where he can see it in the interval. Here, no specific rule can be given. The family must decide these things, but urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. So, for me, I'm just going to share briefly. I have the never force yourself upon him underlined and triple. When I first started sponsoring many years ago, I found myself really over anxious to, you know, share what I've been given, which was a spiritual awakening. And you just want everybody to have what you have. And that is exactly the opposite of what the book is telling us. The book is telling us not to be forceful. And the last sentence was that we might spoil matters. That word spoil was used on page 90 and just a couple paragraphs above what we just read. You know, we can spoil a later opportunity by being overzealous. So what I finally sort of came to over time was my family and friends noticed that my weight pretty much never changes. I lost about one third of my body weight slowly over time. And occasionally I'm asked, what did I do? And I very simply say, I outlined my problem, which was I had a physical allergy that caused a mental craving, and that my solution was with the Big Book, finding a power greater than myself that I can rely upon, that I don't diet, that this isn't a diet at all. And then I shut my mouth. And occasionally people want to hear more, and I give them just a little bit more because this is a program of attraction. And I'm cautioned here to never be forceful, that you just sort of be an example. You put the book somewhere, which I don't do because I don't have that experience like the big book is talking about. But I just mostly embody the program and not actually talk about the program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carly H. Appreciate your share. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we're going to take a lineup on the reading of page 90, paragraph 4, starts with "if he doesn't want to see you" and ends with "spoil matters." Who would like to comment on that paragraph today?
Sylvia S.
Sylvia S.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Anyone else?
Julie E. B.
Patricia
P.
Patricia P. Okay, sounds good. We have Sylvia F., Kathleen O., Julie E. B., and Patricia P. Please share with us, Sylvia.
Thank you. This is Sylvia F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater at Portland, Oregon. And I love this paragraph. I love the whole chapter because it goes into such detail. But when I remember what I was like when I first came into the program and first got recovery 17 years ago, I was so evangelical. I was so passionate. And I wanted to tell and fix everyone. And if I saw someone who's carrying too much weight, I would make up my mind about what was the matter with them. I wouldn't, you know, and I don't know that they had an eating disorder, but for me, I was just so excited and relieved. I just wanted to share this with everyone, whether or not they wanted it. And so after a while, I learned that, was reminded that this is for a program for people who want it, not necessarily need it. And sometimes that was frustrating because I believed in my heart of hearts it could work. So I've had so many experiences of what has worked and what hasn't for various people, and you never know. And so one time, I literally, the way that they said to do it is give this person a big book and tell them, see if it applies. And they didn't for like months. And all of a sudden, they were so desperate one night, they picked up the book and read it. And the next day, they said, okay, I'm ready to go to a meeting. Would you go to a meeting with me? You know, the other thing that I would say that I don't know that gets addressed in this chapter, but I think it's equally important, is this 12 step within. To be able to talk about our experience to people who are in the room still suffering. They haven't gotten recovery. It's hard. It's so hard to be in a meeting or hard to be in the program and listen to all these people who have gotten a miracle and you haven't. And so I think that service is equally important. And with that, I will pass. I guess I just also want to say that I am so happy to have been here for so long, and my program changes, my recovery changes, but you all don't. You're here, and I'm here. And for that, I'm very grateful to all of you, and I pass.
Glad you're here too, Sylvia. Okay, Kathleen O., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Julie E.B.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California, and it is beautiful out this morning. So, you know, this book was written in the 30s, and prior to the technology that we have today, geared for alcoholics. So this whole page talks about, you know, family is splattered within all these paragraphs, because I think a lot of ways that, you know, alcoholics got this information is maybe a family member found an alcoholic that was recovered and wanted them to, you know, try to get their family member into this program. So, you know, we're compulsive overeaters. We have a lot of technology. So I don't think there's a lot of approaching. I can't say that I've had anybody ask me to approach anybody that, you know, is a family or a friend. But I do know that we really do have to be ready. When I was younger, you know, I lived with my mom, dad, and brother, who were all normal eaters and in normal body sizes. And, you know, I had this addiction from a very young age. And so my mom, who was very sweet, would say, oh, you know, let's do this. She never had any weight to lose, but she would do, you know, she would encourage me, and because I would maybe complain that I thought I was fat. And there were these little things called aids back in the day. And so she bought a box of those, and they were supposed to, you're supposed to take one and, you know, with hot water, and it was supposed to fill you up. But of course, that's not dealing with our problem, right? Because we have a different kind of problem than most people. And I think it worked for my mom. It curbed her appetite. But it triggered me, and I ate the whole box. And she was shocked when she went to look for them, and the box was empty. And I just, you know, to this day, I feel sorry for my mom, because she probably wondered what the heck was wrong with me. But I know when I came in to 12-step, it was a different 12-step program for compulsive overeaters, identifying as food addicts. And the way I heard about it was someone said, oh, someone came in yesterday as a temp and they've lost 80 pounds. And I'm like, really? How'd they do that? And she said, well, there's this meeting. And I didn't even ask. I said, I want to go, because I was really ready. So I was ready to do what I needed to do. I was very, very desperate. And today, with all, you know, the Zoom meetings, and there's, oh my gosh, there's so much that, you know, people can do. And so it's very easy to get into this program. But again, we have to be ready, because if we're not ready, this isn't going to work. And I mean, that saying, they come in by the hundreds and leave by the 99s.
Central reminder.
Okay, and I'll pass with that. Thank you, Elaine. Have a great day.
And thank you, Kathleen O. Julie Eby, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Patricia P. Julie Eby?
Hi, this is Julie Eby, Gratefully Recovered. Somewhere on the border between Colorado and New Mexico, approaching the border, traveling today. I love this, never forced yourself upon him. You know, we have, it sounds like something that is obvious, but the truth is that in a desire to help, the self-will can come. And it might not be that you're forcing yourself to see them. It might be that they want to do it a different way, or they want to do a different time, or they want another personality, or they'd like to be in the food. Not like to be in the food, maybe, but just can't, you know, struggling to put it down and don't want to keep meeting. So, you know, I've also been a family member that wants to hysterically plead, even though I know that never worked with me. I think it's powerful that we wait. We wait until they are at the end of that bout and say, hey, this might be a solution, or drop a nugget of what's helping me. Some people are going to change by my weight or be interested in the program, but most people in my experience are interested in the program, especially around people close to me. When I started to change the way I was, the way I could have emotional sobriety, and the way my character defects were being removed by my higher power, and the way I was making amends and facing things and living life in a different way. In my life, you know, I've gained and lost over 1,000 pounds. People had seen the weight go up and down. But when they saw that I had something, and no specific rule can be given, is also beautiful. and inspirational. So I want to follow that 11-step awakening prayer and pray for an intuitive thought and action, and know that sometimes it's going to be an absurd thought or action. Sometimes I'm going to, because I'm just getting to know my higher power after many years. So, you know, sometimes we follow our intuition. You know, families, I do care about these issues, and families are over anxious. And it seems counterintuitive to sit back, but for those of us who have seen this both in ourselves and in our family, selling it just doesn't work. It just has to be an attraction, and everybody has their own things to try and do. So I just pray that they might have peace, and I never know when it's enough. So thanks. That's what I'm sharing and passing.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. Before we hear from Patricia P., we will be taking another lineup after that, and just wanted to let you know that we're commenting on page 90, paragraph 4, which begins with, if he doesn't want to see you, never force yourself, and ends with, that might spoil matters. So please share with us, Patricia P. Our one time.
Yeah, my name is Patricia P. from Barron Springs, Michigan. I'm focused on the sentence where it says you might place his book where he can see it in the interval of the big book. I know we mainly read from the 164 pages, but I like to read the story in the back, which encourages me to know that how fatal my disease is. I'm recovered now one day at a time, but these stories help me to know how important it is to work the steps. And with that thought pass, thank you.
Thank you so much, Patricia P. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on page 90, paragraph 4, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Tom L.
Sure. Dead E.
Tom L. Dev
Sherry.
E. Joan. Was it Joan?
Joan R.
Joan R. And did I hear a Sherry also?
Yes, Sherry H. M.
Thank you. I have Tom L., Dev E., Joan R., and Sherry H. Anybody else want to get in the slide up?
K. L.
K. L. Okay, well, let's go with this. Tom L., Dev E., Joan R., Sherry H., and KL. So, Tom L., please share with us. You'll be followed by Dev E.
I am unmuted. Good morning, everyone. This is Tom L., compulsive overeater in California. I come from very big numbers and many decades of hurting myself with food. This is a very delicately written part of the book. You're dealing with someone who's not, you know, you don't know if they want to get well or not. It's kind of like fishing. You're sitting there, someone bites the line, you wait, and then eventually you try to sink the hook. And I've talked to many, many men who desperately want to stop compulsive overeating on their terms. And what can you do? What can you do? Well, I can tell my story. And my story is endless repetitions of trying to solve the problem myself. What eventually happened, I came to OA 20 years ago, had a conversion experience, realized what had been happening my entire life. And I surrendered to someone who looked like he knew what he was doing until I got bored. And then I picked up I took the wheel again, and after about 15 years of sane living, I went back off the rails, and for about 5 years, I was in the wilderness trying to solve it myself, thinking I can't go back to OA. I was, everybody knew me thin, and I'm not thin anymore, and it's not that bad yet. You know what? I'm not eating sugar. I'm eating everything else in huge quantities, but I'm not eating sugar. You know, it's the kind of things we tell ourselves. And eventually it got so bad, I was, as I said, I was on my face begging for a God I didn't understand to help me. I got on the phone with a man who had recovered. I knew him 20 years ago. He had been a bad compulsive overeater. He was not in recovery 20 years ago, but he was 6 years abstinent now. Sober, he likes to call it. Sober with food. And I talked to him, and he led me through this book. As we go through this book paragraph by paragraph, we went a little faster than that. He shared his experience with this book. And that's the whole point of trying to get these slippery fish, is I need to go through this book with someone, because every page I read, I have experience with it, personal experience. I know it works. I can talk with authority because I know it keeps a crazy guy from hurting himself one day at a time. It's amazing, but to get someone to open up their ears and listen, there's a lot of beating that has to go on, and I'm not, that's the disease's job. But it's wonderful when it happens. It feels so good to transmit something I know works, and it's not me. I can't take credit for it. Thanks, let me share.
Thank you so much, Tom L. Deb E., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Joan R.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in the jail. And I'm sorry I missed the lead here, but I was kind of looking through the paragraph sentence by sentence, and I feel like, you know, it's telling me that I can't control things. And like, so much of my disease is about control and wanting to control everything. And like, I can't convince somebody else that they're a compulsive overeater. I have people in my life who I'm convinced are compulsive overeaters. They know I've been in program. We've known it for a long time, but they don't seem to either see it in themselves, or I'm totally wrong, or, you know, they don't want to look at it. And I can't tell them, like, I can't qualify them. And I've, you know, I've kind of had moments in the past struggling with that, like, oh, if only, like, I just want them to get the gifts that I've gotten, you know, like, it's right there. Why won't they take it? But that's not up to me. That's up to my higher power to decide what, you know, everybody does, not me. And, you know, this line, they should wait for the end of his next drinking bout. Like, why should they wait for that moment? Because that's the moment. Those were the only moments I was willing to change in those moments. And then I'd forget about it, you know, the next day. But in that moment where I felt after a binge, and I just felt completely defeated and completely, you know, I don't think I felt powerless yet, but I definitely felt like it had, you know, it was beating me. And those were the only moments where I thought, oh, I've got to do something, you know, but those were fleeting moments. And then I'd just go back into the food. And yeah, I think that's mostly what I wanted to say about it. It's just as much, it's been a hard thing for me, like, to not be able to just tell someone, like, I have the solution. And sometimes, you know, the solution is not this program. Like, not everybody will like this program, and it will not. Like, I had someone at one point talk to me about food, and I, you know, she knew I was an OA, and I shared it, and she wanted nothing to do with the 12 steps. She was like, that's never going to work for me, and she seems to have found a different way that worked for her. Funny enough, it was a spiritual path, but not this one. And so I have to remember that just because it's worked for me, and just because I'm passionate about it, it doesn't mean other people need it. It doesn't mean other people will, you know, it will resonate with them the way it's resonated with me. And it's not necessarily the answer for everyone, but I do have to remain open if it is the answer for someone, that I need to just patiently wait and let them come to me and not force it upon them. I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share. Yes.
Thank you, Debbie. Okay, up next we have Joan R., and she'll be followed by Sherry H.
Hi, this is Joan R. in Oregon, and I feel very privileged to be here with you wonderful vision people and all those who do the service. I'm so grateful. I really got a lot from what has already been shared, and mainly the getting emotional sober. And for me, this would be having my ego changed to WeGo, because that's what works as I get, you know, just constantly getting to be able to be willing to have this conscious, you know, constant conscious contact with my higher power, and that his will, I can join his will with my little will, and that for me requires learning to really listen to somebody else and not talk. You know, I'm a talker, and so it's a constant daily reprieve, and I'm so getting that, and wanting to change my family in all the different ways, and wanting to control everybody else's problems. All that is really needed is that I have no anxiety or no expectations at all. So that's a miracle for me. And thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Joan R. Sherry H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by KH.
Good morning.
KL, sorry.
Oh, good morning.
Go ahead.
This is Sherry H.M. calling from Washington State. It is Sherry with a C. I have a great story about this. And I was in a thrift store and looking at these really beautiful dresses. They were absolutely gorgeous. And then this lady came around the corner and she said, "Oh gosh, it's so great that you can wear those." You know, she said, "I just have such a problem with sugar and, you know, it all catches up with me," something like that. So I said, "Well, you know, it never was, it wasn't like this for quite a while." And anyway, so started talking to her just real briefly and, you know, with kindness, just shared a little bit about my story. And I said, "Hey, you know, hey, no pressure at all, but here's my phone number if you ever want to text me and get together. I can tell you more, but, you know, have a great day and happy shopping." So anyway, I didn't think she'd probably call or text. And the next day she did text. So we got together right away, like a day later or something, shared her about the program. So just, I like to try to be the message and not, you know, just preach it or whatever. It doesn't work anyway. I don't want to chase them or throw the slogans at them. So anyway, thank you and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. Okay. KL is up next, and after KL, we'll take another line up on page 90, paragraph 4, which begins with, "If he doesn't want to see you," and ends with, "Might spoil matters." So please share with us, KL.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
You sound great.
Okay, good. Thank you so much for your service, and I'm a grateful overeater and glad to be here today. And so I love that never force. Of course, somebody's coming to my door. I think I got a repair guy coming. I'm going to have to go. Thanks. Sorry.
Okay, that sounds fine. We'll sort of keep her in the lineup and check back in a couple minutes for KL. But meanwhile, though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share their experience as well. And we have time for a few more shares. If you'd like to comment on this, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Paige.
Who was that?
My name is Paige L.
Paige L. Okay.
Joan Marie M.
Okay. And anybody else?
Lori B.
Lori B. Okay. We'll go with that. We'll check in with KL in a couple minutes and see if she's able to get back on the line. So meanwhile, Paige L., will you share with us?
Joan Marie M.
Yes. Oh, hi, my name is Paige. Yeah.
Oh. I did, just to let you know, I did get Paige L., Joan Marie M., and Lori B., and we'll come back for KL and see if she can finish up then. So, but we're going to start right now with Paige L., and followed by Joan Marie M. And please share with us, Paige.
Hi. I just joined, and so I didn't get to hear the page number and the topic. But I wanted to claim my seat. I've had a hard time getting on the meetings with some drama. May I know what the topic is?
Yes, we're on page 90, paragraph 4. If he doesn't want to see you, it begins with, and then never force yourself, that might spoil matters.
Okay. I came into the program at a young age, and I forced a lot of situations, and that's a perfect topic for me today because, first of all, I live with a family that is generationally dealt with addiction and alcoholism and overeating issues, and I didn't know how it was affecting me so much until a counselor did an intervention when I was in high school. I became anorexic and tried to be bulimic, couldn't throw up, and so just what they call a binge eating disorder now. Got down to a very low weight and was that perfect. I did it perfect. I never cheated once and lost so much weight that it was dangerous. And then, of course, I gained it all back and spent the next 8 years going back and forth yo-yo dieting. But I found this program miraculously because someone noticed and cared and suggested that I go to a meeting back in 1984. And I grabbed onto it, not so much with a vengeance or forcing something like I was going to go on a diet. I grabbed it because I was desperate and spent many years until 2011 or 12 enjoying abstinence and not going to meetings because we didn't have any here, but using the big book because that's what we used back then. And now I have a person in my family who I want to force to, there's a couple of people in my family that I would like to drag to different kinds of meetings. And because I am a double winner and I go to Al-Anon and OA as well, I am grateful for this paragraph because I know that the person has to be ready. But most importantly, the one finger pointing at them means that the three fingers are pointing back at me. And I'm just barely higher than the weight that I started at when I was 18, and I'm 57 now. And I just can't believe it. And thank you. I'll wrap it up. My only hope is that I know this program works. I've watched my partner do dieting and writing down and weighing and measuring the way I did. I know that doesn't work for me, but I trust in the group as my higher power, and I am starting over every day for the last few months with the hope that it will work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paige L. I'd like to check with KL to see if you are back and would like to have your share. KL? Okay. We'll move on to Joan Marie M. then, please. Star one to unmute, Joan Marie M.
Sorry about that. I was talking to myself. Joan Marie M. from Recovered in Las Vegas, Nevada. I just love the big book, and it's a textbook. It tells me exactly whatever situation or occasion I have. It just gives me the knowledge to know what to do. And this one is in sponsoring. So as I read and listen, I'm learning every single day to do it the way that God would have me do it. And so with that, I'm so grateful, and I wish everyone a blessed day. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Joan Marie M. Okay, we have Lori B. up next, and we will have time for a couple of shares after, or one or two shares after Lori B. Please share with us, Lori.
Hi, this is Lori B. from Alberta, Canada. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah, this paragraph, like, I can definitely speak from my own experience just from choosing food as my higher power as opposed to my actual higher power. And when I'm choosing food, I have spiritual blinders on and I cannot be talked to or told what to do. And so the paragraph is so insightful that way, because you can't force yourself upon them. It's a moot point. It's a lost cause. Because I wouldn't have listened to anybody anyway. And so coming off of the food and being able to have the spiritual experience, really has allowed me to see where I have chosen food to be the alternate. And, you know, I had to get to that point of desperation, the point of I can't do this anymore, the point of, all right, look at my way is certainly not working for me anymore. And, so the part where they say they should wait for the end of his next drinking bout is pretty much good advice, because that's when, you know, you feel the most shame and the most guilt and the most, okay, I got to do something about this. So I'm just grateful to be in the rooms. I've been in and out of OA since 2001, and I've had sponsors, I've had abstinence, I've had relapses, and, you know, I'm back at it now, and 7 days of entire abstinence at this point right now. And it's amazing how when I'm in the food, I forget the clarity that this program brings to my mind. And my mental affliction is so real. And that physical allergy is so real. And I cannot view the world rationally and my relationships or anything rationally. So with that, I think I'll pass, but grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Lori B. Okay. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment, I think we have time for a 3-minute share and a 2-minute share. Who'd like to share?
Elaine G. of New York.
Deb F. G. And Deb F. Okay. Elaine G., please go ahead. And Deb F., I'm sorry, you'll just be 2-minute share. Okay.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine G. I got on kind of late because the air quality in New York is terrible, and I've been calling my friends to tell them not to go out. Anyway, about working with others, they talked in the book about, especially when it comes to... I'm going to have to hang up. Sorry.
Okay. worked out well. She's got a lot of background noise there. So, okay, Deb F., please share with us, and you do have time for a full 3 minutes share. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. This is Deb F. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. I appreciate the boundaries that are put up in this passage today because, like another caller said, that she wants to bring everyone in that she sees has a problem. I'm probably similar, probably the hardest people for to be around, or ones, people who are close to me, for them, I have to really be careful. And I know that I have a very dear loved one that I would love to see here in this program. However, she has her path, and I have to respect that. In fact, I went out for coffee with her a couple months ago, and I just asked her how her day was, and she was telling me her experiences. And then, because she knew that her problem was the weight and the food, and she looks at me point blank, and I do not want a 12-step program, and I just, I just kind of like knew I couldn't say anything, because actually I was making an amends to her too, and part of the amends was because I have quite often shared with her what I think she should do, and she's an adult, she doesn't have to do, she has to find her own way, and that's hard, but I'm just appreciative for the boundaries in this program, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anybody want to jump in for 1 minute? 1 minute share.
Polly D. in Kentucky.
Go for it, Polly.
So the only way, thanks everybody, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The only way I can sort out this, when do I approach, when do I not, what do I say, what do I not say, because it's been so confusing to me, is through staying so grounded in God. And because even when I think I should, I've probably in 7 or 8 times in the last couple of years I've approached someone by email or anything directly, nada, nothing. And maybe I planted a seed, I don't know. But the one that has been incredible is when I met someone last summer, and we were just chatting. We were becoming friends. And this person happened to mention that he had lost 45 pounds. And somehow it felt like it was not me at all. It wasn't typical. I blurted out of my mouth, well, you're talking to someone who's an Overeaters Anonymous. I have no idea where that came from. And it has turned out to be the most wonderful thing. This person is so in. I actually became his sponsor. And like it felt so much like God was just moving through my mouth. And my natural inclination is to fix, manage, and control, point the finger at the other person, not look at my own behavior. So I have to just be, please, God, tell me what I should do in this situation. And, use me as your instrument, because I'll probably mess it up if I'm deciding. And I do want to shout from the rooftops like everybody else, the freedom I have. But, it's a mystery, and it's God's work, not ours. Have a great day and a great weekend, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Polly D. Glad you were able to get in for that. All righty. So we'll now close the meeting by reading from the Big Book, page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You for us?
Yeah, hi. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, traveling now. Hi.
I think we've lost you, Julie. Julie, are you there? She may have gotten disconnected. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us.
I'm here.
Okay, great. Please go ahead.
The book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. see to that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.